before Easter, we were in a series, and before the virus, we were in a series in Matthew. And so we kind of left off in the last part of Matthew chapter 19, and then the virus hit, and we had Easter, and all those good things. So, but in that chapter 19, Jesus talks to the disciples, and he talks to them about compassion, and he talks to them about humility. And they had developed an attitude where they thought maybe because they were the disciples of Jesus, they were more important than some of the other people that were responding to the gospel. And so Jesus is speaking to them in a very direct way of how they needed to serve God and minister. So he deals with humility and maybe the pride that was coming up within their own heart and life. So then you get to that last part of Matthew chapter 19. There's a story about the rich young ruler. And he had a heart to follow God. He wanted to do what was right. He was following the Ten Commandments. And he seemed to have everything. He seemed to check all the boxes. And so Jesus says, there's one more thing you need to do. And he says, well, what is it? Jesus says, go sell all that you have and give it to the poor and follow me. It says that he went away sad. He had his head hung down and he went away sad because he was a man with great wealth. And he wasn't willing to follow Christ if it meant giving up all his riches. And Scripture is very clear that we can't have two masters. And so the title of that message was All In. You can find it. It was on March 8th. You can find that on the website there. And we just talked about no one is capable of saving themselves. To be perfect, Jesus calls us to undivided loyalty. And only God is able to save completely. And God has nothing against wealth. It just can't be our master. And for this young man, it directed his life. It was more important to him than to follow Christ. So, after he leaves, he has a discussion. You know, it's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. They're processing all that. And in their culture, wealth symbolized or was taken as a blessing from God. And people had this attitude that if I'm wealthy, therefore, I must be kind of first in line. I must have an advantage. God's favor, there we go, God's favor must be upon my life. Therefore, I have God's blessing. All right? And so then Peter asks this question that we're going to look at, and then we go into the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. So today's message builds upon that premise, that background from March 8th, that message there. You know, and as we enter into this message, we're entering into the a week where it was just announced that another 4.4 million people applied for unemployment. We're up to 26 million people that have filed for unemployment since the virus became an issue within our nation. And 10% of the U.S. workforce is without a job. That's pretty incredible. And so as we look at this, I think we kind of, it even adds a little bit of a backdrop to where we're going today. All right? So before we begin, let's bow our heads in prayer and invite God's presence. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness and your love for us, Lord God. And just as we've gathered in our homes, maybe we're watching on an iPhone, a computer, an iPad, our TV. Lord God, as we've gathered together, Lord God, I'm just inviting your presence to come and to fill that place, that space where we are at this morning. Lord God, even though we're gathered in separate places, I believe your Spirit is there and present among us. And so, God, we invite your presence here right now to speak through the words that I speak, and that, Lord God, you can take them and apply them to each of our lives. It is your living word that speaks to us today. And so we ask this in your precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. So let's begin together. Matthew chapter 19, starting with verse 27. Jesus has just said, you know, about who can, it's like going through the eye of a needle. And Peter then says, Peter answered him and said in verse 27, we have left everything to follow you. Wow, exclamation mark, right? What then will there be for us? Okay, so Peter is kind of saying, you know, hey, God, we've given up everything. Follow you, our families, our livelihood. You know, what's our retirement plan, God? What's going to be our reward? Kind of a little bit of a, you see that little bit of concern for himself. There's concern in his voice. So Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne," so we're talking about in the end times, "you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Tribes of Israel, there we go. "And everyone who has left houses, brothers, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, fields, for my sake, will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life." Wow, 100 times much. Pretty generous. Verse 30. "But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." So Jesus is going to use that term a little bit more, and so we'll dive in a little more to discover what he means. So to illustrate his point a little bit further, Jesus goes into the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. Verse 1 of chapter 20. He says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers in his vineyard. So the first hour would be 6 a.m. in the morning." So the workday in that Jewish culture was from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., a 12-hour workday. The first hour would be 6 a.m. "He agreed to pay them a denarius for a day and sent them into his vineyard." So a denarius was a fair wage for a day's work back in that day. So, Amy can put up a picture of a denarius there if she wants to there. And there it is. So you can see a picture of it. So we'll come back to that later, but that is was worth a day's wage back in that day. All right, verse 3. "About 9 in the morning, so the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing." So if you didn't have a full-time job with a regular employer back in those days, you would go to the marketplace and you would sell yourself for the day. You would contract yourself out for work for the day to bring home some provision for your family, all right, and for yourself. So he goes back the third hour at 9 a.m. in the morning, finds more people. He sends them back into his vineyard. He says, "Go work in my vineyard, and I'll pay you whatever is right." Verse 4. Verse 5. "So they went out. He went out again at noon and at 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around." So some of your Bibles will say at the 11th hour. And we use that expression, right? That the last hour, the 11th hour. Because it's 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, the day is done. "And he asked them, 'Why are you still standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. And he said to them, 'Go, you also go and work in my vineyard.'" Even though there's an hour left, he tells them to go. "When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going to the first.' The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received, maybe even to their surprise, a denarius, a day's wage. So when the others came that were hired first, they expected to receive more, each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'These who were hired last only worked an hour,' they said, 'and you have made them equal to us.'" Can you sense the attitude there, right? Inequity. "We have borne the burden of the day and the heat of the day.' But he answered them, I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius?' The answer is yes, they had. 'Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money?' The answer is yes. 'Or are you envious because I am generous?' Probably yes there too. 'So the last will be first, and the first will be last.'" You know, there's a few things we want to pull out of here, okay? And so the first one that I see, as Jesus addresses them, he's speaking, I believe, directly to his disciples and to others that are listening around. And the first thing I see is that eternal life is based upon grace, not merit. Eternal life is based upon grace, not merit. Whether you give your life to God in the early part of your life, you know, I accepted Christ when I was 5. Okay? You could maybe consider that the first hour, right? But there's others that accept Christ at the 11th hour. You know what? Each person that receives Christ receives that same gift of eternal life. And to illustrate that, you have a thief on the cross that was crucified next to Jesus, and it sounds like initially they both were hurling insults at Jesus, and the one finally has this moment where he sees that Jesus is who he says he is. He hasn't done anything wrong. He had. And Jesus communicates to him love, care. The man says, I believe. And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. Hey, that's an 11th hour conversion, salvation. And so he receives the gift of eternal life, just like somebody that had walked with God his whole life. Why is that? How can that be? For someone who has walked with God all of his life and to have somebody come in at the 11th hour and they get the same? Why is that? The reason is because our salvation, our eternal life, is based upon grace and not merit. There's nothing that we can do to earn the gift of eternal life. It's a free gift from God. Ephesians 2:8-9 says that it is for by grace you've been saved. Through faith, this is not of yourselves. So it's nothing of my that I can do, nothing of merit. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Salvation, eternal life, is a gift from God. It's by his grace. It is not by the things that we do. So the point we want to catch, eternal life is based upon God's grace and not merit. But that leads us into our second point. There's a difference between eternal life and eternal reward. So the second point there, if you're following along in your programs, if you printed those out, says God is fair, even more he is generous. God is fair, even more he is generous. And this pertains to our eternal reward. Going back to verse 29 of chapter 19, Peter says, you know, we've left houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, father, mother, children, fields. The list goes on to follow you. Jesus says, you know what? You will be reimbursed 100 times over. I don't know if reimbursed is the right word, but hey, you're going to receive back. Your reward is going to be 100 times more than what you've sacrificed and you've given up. And one commentator points out that, you know what, they weren't making sacrifices, they were making investments. What they had invested in the kingdom of God, God would fully repay, not just one for another, you know, apple for an apple, I sacrifice this, God is going to give me back what I sacrifice. Instead, he gives us back more than we deserve, is the idea, that's the principle. Like the gift of eternal life, our eternal reward is based upon God's infinite grace and generosity, not solely our works or our self-righteousness. The point of this parable is that God is not going to maybe reward everybody the same. And he's not going to give us what we deserve. He's going to be generous, and he's going to give us above and beyond what we deserve. He's gracious. He's generous. Which leads to our third point. Focus on Jesus and avoid the comparison trap. You know, that's a little bit harder than what it seems, isn't it? Let's be honest. We look at the car we drive and the car that the neighbor drives. We look at the house we have and the house that the neighbor has. We look at the clothes we have and the other people. And we compare. We compare. And sometimes we even get in that comparison trap thinking, you know what, God, I've given up all these things and I've done all these things for you, but it seems like you're blessing so-and-so more than you are blessing me. We get into trouble when we begin to keep our eyes on others instead of on Christ. We must focus on Jesus and thus avoid the comparison trap. The workers that complained, they were the ones that had started at the first watch and worked all day. They had worked for that denarius. Okay, I see a picture of that denarius one more time. There it is. Picture of Caesar on one side. And That's what they had agreed to work for. They got the wage that they had agreed to, which was a fair wage for the day. What bothered them was that they had worked the whole day and some had worked a partial day. Some had only worked 1 hour. And they all got paid the same. That was the owner's choice. If he wanted to be generous, that was his choice to make. And I believe that some people, if we get into this comparison trap, we think, you know what, I've given this for God, I've done this for God. We can get into that trap of comparing. And that's what Peter was doing. And I think Peter even was in that mindset that, you know what, God, we're your disciples. We've left everything to follow you. We've given up everything. And truly, we deserve to be first in line into the gates of heaven, but also as far as when you're giving out your reward. Because after all, we've given up the most, right? And there was maybe some of the religious people out there that thought, you know what, we have it all together. We look good. We were faithful in going to church. We know the law. And they thought they were first in line. But what does Jesus do? He says the first will be last, and the last will be first. Why? Because eternal life and even our eternal reward is not based upon our merit. It's based upon God's grace and His generosity. And see, here's the thing. Here the owner is generous. And we have to understand that our God is generous towards us. He's going to treat us better than we deserve. And what I believe that God, that Jesus was calling His disciples to and Peter to, was to not just to serve Him, but to serve Him with a whole heart. To leave the results with God, and that God was going to more than richly bless them for all that they had done. He didn't want them to be worried about what exactly their reward was going to be. He just wanted them to give Him their all, their best. And God was going to make sure that they were blessed beyond measure. I believe that is what He is calling His disciples to, and I believe that's what He calls us to, is to give our all to God. If we make sacrifices, if we do all that we can do to further the kingdom of God, God sees that. He sees what is done in public and He sees what is done in secret. He sees it all. He sees the sacrifices that we make, whether it's financially or service, giving of our time and our talent, our treasure. He sees it all. And God is good. He's generous beyond measure. When we get to that other side, we may not see all of it. I believe we see some of it in this lifetime. But much of it we won't see until we get to the other side, until we get into eternity with God. And I don't think there's anybody that's going to be disappointed, because God is generous. He's good. And He loves you with an undying love. In conclusion, we learn from what Jesus taught His disciples that eternal life is based on grace, not merit. God is fair. Even more, He is generous. Focus on Jesus and avoid the comparison trap. I'm going to ask Amy to come. She's going to lead us in a closing chorus. And as she does, I just want you to reflect on the scriptures that we've kind of just dug into and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak and apply that to your life. What is God speaking to your heart? And just let God's presence fill the place where you're at this morning. Just make that a holy place, that an altar where you're at. I believe that God's Spirit is there with you right now. And His Spirit, I have the faith right now that He's coming in and just filling that place with His presence, with His glory, with His power. And so as she leads us in this course, would you just join along with her and make that a place of worship? Join hands if you want to, but just let God's presence fill that place this morning. And when she's done, I'll have a closing prayer with us. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Amy, for leading us in that closing song. Amen. God is good, and He does watch over us, and I believe that He's generous beyond comparison, any means. As we go to God in prayer, eternal life is not based on merit. It's based on grace. And if you need to, I believe different parts of this message may be applied to different people out there listening today. If you need to hear that you're not going to get to heaven because of anything you've done. It's only going to be because of His grace. And so I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And if that's you today, you need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have the hope of heaven and eternal life, that God can cleanse you of all your sin. I'm going to ask you to join with me in prayer this morning. Now, there's some of you out there that are giving your all to God, and sometimes you question and you think, God, you know, I've given it all, and are you going to take care of me in the end? Are you going to take care of me in eternity? And the answer is yes. God is going to provide for you here in this world and in the world to come. He's going to be with you. We just have to keep our eyes on Him. And maybe you've been distracted. Maybe you've gotten into that comparison trap, and it's kind of having your lunch. You know what I mean? And you need God to set you free from that. Let's pray together and just seek His face today. Father, this morning we just come before You. And just there might be some out there, Lord God, that are listening right now, and they just don't know if they have the gift of eternal life or not. If they were to die today, they don't know if they'd go to heaven or hell. They're just uncertain. They maybe know You, Lord. They've heard of You. They even have a belief in You. They just don't know if they have the gift of eternal life. And so, Lord God, we just come before You this morning. You said that if we confess our sins, You are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And if we confess You as our Lord and our Savior right now, Father, that You would come into our heart and You would be our Lord and our Savior, and we'd have the peace of knowing You, and we would have the gift of eternal life, that promise of salvation. So, Lord God, if we make that our prayer this morning, I believe right now You're coming in to people's hearts and lives, and they're accepting that gift of salvation. And, Lord God, I just pray for those that have made the sacrifices. They've given of their time, their talent, their treasure. They've poured it all out to You, Lord. And maybe they're just wondering, you know, God, I've given it all. Are You going to take care of me? And the answer is yes. You're going to be so generous towards us. You're going to provide for us in this lifetime, but also so much more in eternity, Lord God. And I just pray You'd fill people with that assurance this morning, that as they give You give of themselves and give their best, God, You're going to do above and beyond what we can even ask, think, or even imagine. Lord God, and I just pray You would fill us with Your presence right now. And Lord God, if we have fallen into that comparison trap, Lord, I pray that You can help us direct our thoughts, our focus upon You, to turn towards You, dear God, to seek Your face, to know that You are a good, good Father that is generous and loving, and You're going to treat us better than we deserve. We give You the thanks. We give You the praise, and we ask it in Your name. Amen. Hey, thanks for tuning in and listening today, whether you're one of our regulars or maybe you just caught us by chance today, and I don't believe it was by chance. Thank you for tuning in today. And we'll have that contact card information posted there on Facebook. It'll also be on YouTube. If you can't find it in those two places, go to radiantsprings.com, about tab, you'll see the connect card. And just let us know what God is doing in your life. If you have a prayer request you want us to agree in prayer with, we would love to do that. So God bless you this morning. Have a blessed week. And we'll just pray God's blessing upon you. Amen. God bless.